Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Oh, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Good throwback Thursday to you. Again, we got three Super Bowls on tap to talk about on our throwback Thursday. And that's good, but not the good of the day. Let's have it.
The good of the day. You know who I'm giving this to today?
Who?
Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen. Okay, our favorite Fox commentator.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, the maybe part just revolves around Fox. We'll see. We'll have to wait and see what the writing is on the wall. But he was on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday, and he spoke up for himself.
Good for him.
He said that he feels that he deserves the top analyst job. He understands the sensitivity with Tom Brady coming in, that Tom Brady's looking over his shoulder, and he understands the uniqueness of what is happening. But he feels that, he's put in his time, that he deserves a top analyst job. And if that's through Fox, great. If it's through somebody else, hey, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
And no, I can't
still
agree
young enough
more.
To sort of to he's young enough to step back and just go, all right, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but eventually yeah. I can play this out and see what happens.
Or maybe it's, not with Fox.
Maybe it's not with Fox. I mean, maybe CBS is licking their chops to get out of that Tony Romo deal. But
maybe it's replacing Kirk Herbstreit. I don't know.
Maybe Herbstreit's like, man, it was too tough. I don't want to do that anymore. And he jumps on board with that.
Yeah. Kirk Herbstreit flying 5,000 miles every weekend.
Yeah. If I was Greg Olsen, I would say, no matter what, just take whatever you get, chill out for a little bit, be a good soldier on this
one.
And then you will get your turn. If you continue to do good work, you'll get your turn again. I don't like it because I don't know if Tom Brady's going to be good at this or not. Maybe he is going to be great at this, but I don't know. But I know Greg Olsen's good at this. And I don't like the idea of taking a number one out for by no fault of his own just to put somebody in better. When Romo replaced Sims, people were really, really tired of Sims. He wasn't prepared. He didn't do a good job. Romo was a breath of fresh air in the beginning, but now he's getting the same criticism that Phil Sims got. It's the same idea here. If Brady's not that good, he's still Tom Brady. But the idea of Fox just going, yeah, that's just the way it goes, man. And then you go, why? Why is it the way it goes? Because what are you gaining from Tom Brady? Really? Any more audience than I was producing? I was on a broadcast of 60 million people. For an NFC championship game. So now you're going to tell me Brady would have turned that into 100 million? What are you talking about?
And honestly, you say you can go in there and say, 60 million people had nothing to do with me.
Right. Exactly. Had nothing to do with me.
Had nothing to do with this guy. I mean, had nothing really to do with Fox except that you were showing it.
What Fox wants out of Brady isn't just the commentary chair. He wants all the secondary things you can do with having Tom Brady in the building. Right. I mean, it goes beyond just being an NFL chair. They probably will have Brady doing something like Manning does, whatever. Like there's 100 things that you can do with podcasts. You could own take his podcast. You can do a million things with him in partnership with Tom Brady, which would be good. But if you're just looking at it job for job, it's kind of unfair because Olsen did do a good job.
Out of curiosity, do you think Brady has been practicing on his own time? Or do you think he's just going to go in and just, I know how to talk football. I'm just going to wing it.
Good question. I think Brady, as a guy that has spent his entire life always prepared for things, I think he's probably working.
Practicing, sitting there during games,
I think
sound off, commenting and stuff like that.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was working, they'll have like a room that you can go into these networks where they'll basically train you to do this. And I think he's probably worked with them saying, I want to do this. I want to do this right. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of analyst job, man, is, you got to know a lot of details about the teams you are covering.
Because it is amazing. I mean, I know that they're fed stats.
Right.
There's stat people there just ready to give them like that random stat because there's so much number stuff now that people are like, there's no way you know this.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, all the way down to the right pronunciation of someone's name and not tripping over it.
Exactly. I've done college basketball games in the past, like on one day's notice, where like my boss had a flu and he's like, can you do tonight's Air Force game? And I'm like, sure. And he just hands me a stack of stuff. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll run through this for the next 3 hours before I get over there. And that's hard. That's hard when you, but I'm not the color guy. I'm at least just doing where the ball is, who scored, how they score, what's the score. The guy that's sitting next to me, he's got to know the tendencies. They got to know the history. They got to know what this team is good at, what they're not good at, how to exploit that. You know, they got to do all of that. And it's a very, very hard job to do. But I'm sure he's very well prepared. But, yeah, good for Greg Olsen, though, for sticking up for himself and not just taking the high road and going, it is what it is.
Yep.
No, just saying, no, guys, look, I'm good at this. I work hard at it. I'd like to, you know, get my name to be part of a conversation that if you're having it at Network B or C or D, I'd like to be talk to you about how do I get over there. Good for him. All right, what's the bat of the day?
The bat of the day is a new report came out from The Athletic.
Oh, yeah.
And they did a deep dive on the 2023 Jets.
Did they really? So this is an in-depth article on the Jets.
Spoke with 30 different people within the organization, you know, anywhere from coaches who did not want to be named all the way to, like, you know, Sally, the office secretary.
And they say journalism is dead.
And what they found was that the organization is a cluster beep. On the inside.
Yeah, again, they say journalism is dead.
One insider described a team riddled with excuse-making, a paranoid head coach, and an ill-equipped offensive coordinator, and the catering to a quarterback that has rubbed others the wrong way.
I feel like the Jets 2023 season is not necessarily a 30-for-30, but like a 30-for-30 short.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, people are like, what happened? This thing fell apart so quickly.
I think it's Hard Knocks needs to go in and do a updated special.
Was there something about Aaron Rodgers giving, like, Zach Wilson the cold shoulder or something?
There's like, something like that, that their relationship wasn't what it was said.
Right.
Also, Aaron Rodgers, one insider, said that Joe Douglas isn't the GM. He's the assistant GM.
That it's Aaron Rodgers at the
Aaron
GM?
Aaron Rodgers calling the shots.
Jeez.
And, you know, a lot of people don't really know how to feel about Aaron Rodgers, you know, especially given all the recent, like, conspiracy theories that he's constantly been throwing out there. Actually, all season long. Always having a thought on this and thought of that, you know, they just don't know what to make of him. So, it painted a picture of, like, on the surface, the way they act all the time is like, oh, everything's hunky-dory. Can't wait to have Aaron back in the lineup. And, you know, back to the winning ways of Jets football. But reality is, behind the scenes, everyone's like, this is a horrible work environment.
Oh, God. You would just stand back and go, they're letting it all, this entire roster of talent, they're letting it in, they're putting it in Zach Wilson's hands.
Yeah.
Hoping that this kid can just deliver what this incredibly put together team needs, and he's not, and it's falling apart, and they're just letting it fall apart. They're just letting it fall by the wayside. They had an opportunity. They Aaron Rodgers got hurt, and they thought, if we could just get to the playoffs, he might be back for that. And they couldn't even figure out a way to get just decent enough quarterback play to be around the conversation as an organization. And maybe Rodgers had something to do with that. Maybe Rodgers was like, you ain't bringing in Flacco. All right. No, that's not happening. We're not doing that.
No, that's why they went back to Zach Wilson. It was Rodgers' idea to bring over Tim Boyle.
Yep.
It was Rodgers' idea to have Nathaniel Hackett be the offensive coordinator. And,
oh, I know. And that was terrible.
Yeah. What was the other one? Alan Lazard.
Alan Lazard, yeah. Wasn't there another one?
There was another one, too.
Remember they had Dalvin Cook, and they couldn't do anything with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they finally were like, that was a waste of time.
And it was probably while Aaron wasn't looking is when they got rid of Dalvin Cook and sent him to the Ravens or to the
Ravens. He was released and the Ravens signed him. Yeah. Put him on the practice squad.
But I'm certain that was when Aaron wasn't looking. Aaron was concentrating on something else.
I'm looking forward to reading the deep dive long form article on the Jets. I'm looking forward to reading I've got it called up now between Diana Rossini and Zach Rosenblatt and their in-depth. This is the kind of stuff that you kind of pay for The Athletic for. This is the kind of page Sports Illustrated story that you like.
That's the one you want. That's the one you want. You know, sit down, take your time, read it through, and just get painted this picture of like, oh man, it's not even, it's not green. It's almost black there.
I remember a couple of years ago. Ben Roethlisberger's final season. Somebody did one of those with the Steelers organization. And I'm a fan. I read as much as I can on my team. And I was like, my jaw was open. Like what people were saying anonymously about that situation. And it was like, wow, this is great. I can only imagine with the Jets. This article must be fantastic. So again, check it out if you subscribe to The Athletic. All right, The Dumb is coming up next. And again, it is a throwback Thursday, the celebration of three Super Bowls that occurred on this date. We'll continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You have to help me with this piece of bumper music and know what year it is in.
But you recognize the song.
I recognize the song, but I can't remember
Radioactive.
What year.
I think
this is 2000. This is not 2009, is it?
I think this is 2014.
2014. Yeah. All right, so that would be the Super Bowl where the New England Patriots beat the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
In Arizona. New England winning 28-24. That was the Malcolm Butler interception. And why in the hell didn't they run Marshawn Lynch
at
the goal line?
Is it remembered more for Malcolm Butler's interception or why didn't Seattle run the ball on the 1 yard line?
That's probably the latter, is probably more of that. But Butler made himself a household name.
He did.
By making that interception.
I mean, yeah. He went from who are you to all the talk shows.
That's right. That's right. So the I always found it interesting because that Super Bowl, what I remember the most was at that period of time, Denver had Peyton Manning, right? And there was a lot of Manning is getting the best of Brady, you know, kind of feeling. And a lot of Manning fans were enjoying the previous year's success that Manning was having in Denver. And it looked like, you know, the Patriots were, you know, that Denver was going to be a new beast for New England because they beat them up pretty badly in the AFC title game the year before. But Manning was completely blown away by the Seattle defense in Super Bowl 48, completely blown away. But then in Super Bowl 49, Brady got through two interceptions, but the Patriots still found a way to win that Super Bowl and preventing the Seahawks dynasty. So that is the throwback Thursday. We are in the middle of the good, the bad, and the dumb, and let's get to the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day, Tony, is we've been talking about it, hinting on it. I mean, touching on it over and over again. But then I read something else just recently, and I was like, "Oh, this makes it even more interesting now to me." And you know, it's all the conspiracies involving the NFL,
right?
Ever since Taylor Swift's involvement,
who doesn't love this?
So this is where it's really dumb because a lot of the chat, a lot of the talk. I mean, it exploded this week. Since the AFC championship game. And then somebody went back and figured it out. Do you know how much airtime Miss Taylor Swift received?
So somebody went back to all the broadcasts and timed.
During the AFC championship.
Just the AFC championship game. It's not all season.
Not all season.
3 minutes.
3 minutes, you would think, right?
Yeah, a couple seconds here, a couple seconds there. The end, she seemed to be showed a lot.
I mean, it's a 3 to 4 hour broadcast.
Right.
I mean, 3 minutes, it seems reasonable. No.
Especially at the end. I think a bulk of it was at the end when she was kissing.
Right, yeah. I mean, including that part of it too, right?
Okay.
No, in totality, 44 seconds.
Okay, see, people they're losing their minds over this.
Yeah. Now, I look at it two ways, right? Look at it the way it's like, yeah, everyone's losing their minds. Everyone, this is ridiculous of all these conspiracy theories that, you know, the NFL is rigged and Taylor Swift is at the forefront of the riggedness. The other thing I can't believe is on the Swiftie part of it all, you got 44 seconds of your queen, yet you are dropping everything and making the NFL the most popular, more popular than ever right now, which, you know, on their end. I just saw something the other day that they're in a way anointing Colin Cowherd as their king.
Why?
Because he has Taylor's back. And so everyone everyone now has Colin Coward's back.
Well, this is very similar to everyone wanting to get on Deion's good side.
Exactly.
Criticism of Deion's coaching, his time management, his roster development, his inability to sustain a lead against Stanford. Everyone blew past that. I did a whole deep dive on that where people were like, well, it's better than one. Colorado had one win one season. Other seasons were four wins, five wins, three. Like what Deion did was about normal for where Colorado was, and everyone was treating four wins as the greatest season in Colorado football history because they wanted to be on Deion's good side. This is very similar to that, right? Just be on the good side of the mass of people that love Taylor Swift. I couldn't care less if she's dating him or not. I just don't understand why people are getting worked up over this.
No,
I just do not understand why adults with working lives are losing their mind over this. I was telling you off the air, my wife went to a Bible study. Yeah. I couldn't attend it last night. And she said, thank God you didn't go. And I said, why? She goes, people were asking me what you thought of the NFL being scripted. And I said, they did? She goes, yeah. She goes, this one woman was all about it. She's not even a football fan. I go, she's getting it from somewhere else. She's somebody influential that she follows or she listens to, some political figure, I don't know, is telling her this, and she's convinced of it. Because, like I said before, if you think the NFL is scripted, you haven't seen what I've seen. You haven't been around the sport. It's not that easy to script this. And yet people think it is. Now, I want to make it clear. There's a difference between scripted and influenced, I guess, is the right word. There's two; those are two totally different worlds.
And something's different where you can almost get to the point of like throwing of a game, or
right?
Something like
right?
That.
Absolutely, absolutely. So if you want to tell me that if you want to say, if I say the NFL isn't scripted, and you say you don't think a player is purposely dropped, yeah, no. Those are two totally different things.
Yep.
I do believe that various points in various times in all sports, there is an underhanded development with an athlete needing to do something that hurts his team in whatever capacity. Maybe it goes unnoticed. Maybe it is so blatant people are suspicious. But that's two totally different things. Whether it's a ref, whether it's a player, whether it's a pitcher, whether it's a quarterback, whatever it may be. That element has always been in sports, and that element will always be in sports.
Yep.
What we're talking about is when the league draws up exactly the way it's going to happen, and they've informed the opposing team, the losing team, that they are going to lose, like wrestlers being told you are going to give up the championship.
Basically, what we're saying is that when the NFL schedule drops, which is kind of quickly becoming a holiday,
right,
in our sports world, that maybe that's the day that the all those teams, the front office of the teams, get the script.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Right, exactly.
Maybe we should start that rumor.
That doesn't exist. That absolutely doesn't exist. If you've ever hung around a team, practices, press conferences, actually covering games, in the locker room at the end of the games, and you see how hard work goes into the preparation of this and everything, my biggest question to people is, where does it start? So that's my biggest question to people who believe this. Okay, so tell me, in your world, where does it begin? Does it begin at Alabama and Georgia and USC and UCLA? Does it begin at those places? Does it begin at Oregon? At what point does the coach at Oregon say, hey, I know you're gonna make it to the NFL. Why don't we do this? You're gonna head a world in where you're going to be acting now. You're not going to be an athlete. You're an actor. You're going to use your athletic ability to act at the next level. So we're going to start working on this stuff, on how to tackle so you don't get hurt, because you're going to need to fulfill a role that they're going to need you to do. So if you win, we're going to separate that. Or is it when they get to the league? So do they walk through the doors of the Baltimore Ravens complex? Does John Harbaugh sit down and go, okay, so just letting you know, this is all acting. This is not real. We don't actually compete. We get told at the beginning of the week what we're all to do. You will get a pamphlet, a book, of the things that you're going to do. So we're going to work on that. And I know this is brand new to you, so don't worry about it. You'll get accustomed to it. You'll understand how to make sure you tackle in a certain way, maybe fake an injury every now and then. It's all part of the show. It's all part of the scam.
Do they go over reviews where the guy goes, okay, it's smudged on my paper. Is it second down or third down when I grab your face
mask? And so when but the problem is they can't answer that. And I would advise very important people, like if you have a million followers and you're trying to run for Senate or you're trying to run for Congress or whatever. I don't want to say important people because politicians is the biggest form of narcissism. But if you feel like get off of this, it makes you look stupid. It just makes you look stupid. Now you can say, hey, the Taylor Swift Travis Kelce angle, it does this or this. Fine. But the idea that they've orchestrated this, you just haven't been around the sport. You haven't been in the locker room. I've seen grown men cry because they knew their careers were over.
Yeah, they're just talented actors, Tony.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like I've been to press conferences where people said, "This is it. I'm done," and they put in hard work into this.
Was Teddy Bridgewater or Alex Smith's injuries? Is that the equivalent of a soap opera actor realizing, oh, they're killing me off in the show?
Right, exactly.
It's like, we're going to snap your leg in half. Do we really have to snap? Yeah, no, it has to look real. We're going to snap this thing like a twig.
And I know this, look, the league has been dealing with this since way before this relationship, way before. It's been around for a long time. But it just feels like now there's a political angle to this that I'm just kind of like,
it's a reach.
It's a reach. You're just stretching.
And you have, like, political people who are promoting this as well.
Yeah, exactly. Just be, like I said, like that woman at my wife's church meeting last night, she's getting it from somewhere else.
But it was just 44 seconds.
Yeah. 44 seconds. That's it. It's crazy. All right, we'll continue.